nice enough to be joined now by Romero Mirage, who has just moved his tack from Gulfstream Park to the Big A here at Aqueduct and made his presence felt here immediately yesterday afternoon. With his first mount, any day is her day. Got the money in upset fashion in the opener. Romero, thanks for some time here today on Red Brand Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Welcome,
glad to be here.
Welcome to the winter, my friend.
Oh, so cold.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
No, I've never watched Game
no,
of
you,
Thrones.
You know, what are you, 18?
19.
19.
Yes.
Well, when they say winter is coming, this is winter.
Oh, it's...
You ever experienced... Have you ever experienced anything like this? You've never been up here, right?
Never even seen snow.
Well, let's keep it that way. If you bring snow, me and you are going to fight, my friend. We're going to have a big fight. I love you to death. We're going to fight if you bring snow. We haven't had any. We've had less than 5 inches of snow in New York this winter.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yes.
Well, closest thing I've seen was a snow cone, but that's it.
When we last spoke, we were in Saratoga 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
You would come in to see what was going on. You won a race up at Saratoga, correct?
Yeah, my first race.
So you won your first race at Saratoga.
Yeah.
Now you've won your first race at Aqueduct. It's been a little bit of an interesting journey in between now and then. Why don't you fill everybody in on what happened?
Well, I was doing really good leading up to the injury. You know, I was about fifth in the standings at Gulfstream when I fell, about fifth or sixth. And I had a couple winners and stakes horses coming up, including Maximum Security and A Bit Special. You know, some good horses. But then, you know, life just threw me a curveball, you know, which I learned a lot from the injury. And getting that in, like when I fell, I was 18, and it was just a curveball that a lot of my family was there for, and you really see who's in your corner. And honestly, I've had so much support. It's not like people moved away from me, like, you know, how sometimes people say, oh, when you're down, you see people just moving away from you. But no, it was actually the opposite. I had so much support from everybody, not only my family and friends, but even in the horse racing world, everybody was praying for me. Everybody was just very supportive through everything. And then for me, it felt like I didn't get on a horse since I fell to January. So that was about a year. And that between that time where I didn't get on a horse, the 1 year felt like 10 years, because I love getting on horses regardless if I don't ride them in the race. I love getting on horses. And that year was just, it was a long wait. And then the moment I started getting on horses, it felt like the year went by so fast. And then I got fit very quickly because I prepared myself to get released in November, which I kind of did get released, but I just wanted to make and ensure that my body was 100% to take on racing, where if I do fall, I wouldn't have any pain and I just bounce right back up. So I was already fit by November. So the first day I got on a horse, I was already galloping and jogging. Then the next day I was breezing horses out of the gate like it was nothing. And it just fit right in the moment I sat on a horse again. I didn't feel like I left at all.
Ought to be young again. Have you been able to, you know, we look back on it now, and you've always been, I remember when I came to visit Florida last year, you were one of the first stops I made.
Yeah.
And I came by and
mom made
some scary crab boil, you know.
Oh, it was so good.
That was some good stuff.
I had a lot of that. Yeah. That was hurt.
Yeah, you did. That's one thing. And like you said, you had a great, I mean, I was moved to tears when I saw how much support you had. You had all the boys there playing FIFA soccer with you.
Yeah.
And your girlfriend Acacia, who's here with you now as well, she was there with you through the whole thing, and your mother Junie. I mean, we
can't get
remiss.
Any
you
that.
Can't get any better than Junie, especially if you're gonna make crab boil like that.
Yeah.
You had a great support group, and you've always been very forgiving of the injury. Are you able to watch the race when you went down? Have you been able to go back and look?
Yeah, I've watched it many times. I actually wanted to see the head on, but I don't know where to get it. But for me, it's nothing, because it's just I had the mentality going into the game that that's something that can happen. I've seen it happen to plenty of members in my family, including Rajiv. You know,
yeah.
So it's something that I always knew that could have happened, but I don't keep that in the back of my mind, because that'll just help me ride scared. And I don't know, people call me crazy, but now I just feel like I just went through the worst. So what is there to be scared of? You know, I'm 19 now. I'm young and dumb, so I'm ready to to take on anything, you know?
When you have someone like Rajiv, and I know you guys, your cousins, you're very, very close. The whole family's very close. You and Rajiv are very close. When you're getting better, how much are you relying on his experience and his mentoring through that time? How much did you rely on Rajiv?
Oh, I relied on him a whole lot because he would just, like, I would talk to him very often. We'd be on PlayStation and we talk a lot, you know, especially not the physical part, because honestly, after I fell and I did the surgery, after I came out the hospital, I didn't have to take any medication.
You were in great shape. You were in the brace, but you were getting around good. You were in pretty good shape when I came over, and that was back in, it was this week.
Yeah.
In February of last year, I think next Wednesday is like the 1 year anniversary. I was down there seeing you. You were getting around. I remarked to you. I said, I can't believe how well you're getting around.
Yeah, my surgeon did a phenomenal job, but Rajiv mostly helped me, especially with the mental part, because, you know, it was just like the first 3 weeks, a month was kind of difficult, not in the sense that I couldn't ride, but it just felt like a dream. When I remember I was in the hospital, I woke up. It's like I fell and I woke up in the hospital and I was like, yeah, it's a dream. I don't care. I asked my surgeon. Oh, he said to me, actually, we're going to have to do surgery. And I was like, can we get it done? I fell on a Thursday night and I said, can I get it done tonight? Because I have a bit special running on Sunday in a grade three, which she was the favorite, which she ended up winning. I said, can I do the surgery tonight and ride her on Sunday? So I was like in La La Land and it was just crazy. That's just how it went. But he was there for me mentally because, I mean, at first it was a little bit hard to take in because, I mean, I'm young and I'm still immature because I'm young. Maturity comes with time and experience. But at first, like the first couple months, I was really mad at Paco because him and I, like, we grew up, like, I grew up watching him, you know. Even in Jersey, he flew me down a couple times. But, you know, Rajiv, he really took me through. He said, you can't be mad at Paco. I mean, yeah, things happen in races, but you can't hold a grudge. And which I didn't, you know. I went back and he apologized to me and I just went back and rode with him like it's nothing. And we speak, you know, we say hi to each other. For me, it's just no bad blood, because if I carry that bad blood into the room and into the races, it's just going to cause bad performances and stuff like that. So right now, I actually went up to Paco and I told him, I said, you know, we're not enemies. I said, listen, if something happens in a race, it's over with. What happened a year ago, that's in the past. And right now, it's just, we look on. I have no grudge against you. Things happen and it's just, it is what it is. Just don't think that I'm gonna try and retaliate to that, because I'm not that type of person. I don't want to hurt anybody, because what I just went through, I don't want to wish it on my worst enemy, because it was really bad. So I don't want to retaliate, and I made sure that I just told him that there's no bad blood and we're okay. Because him and I, even after that, now after I said that to him, because when I first started back, he was a little bit timid to talk to me and stuff like that. So I went to him and make sure that he knew that there was no bad blood. It is what it is. You know, I'm over everything. You know, I've matured a lot, and Rajiv has really helped that with me. Like, he's helped me mature a lot, and he actually kind of influenced me to come to New York in a way, and I think it was a good move.
So let's talk about the move. You started riding down at Gulfstream a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I started riding on the 18th or 19th, I believe.
Of January?
Yeah, of January.
And we're just a month later. What led to the decision?
Well, I started off okay. I mean, I think I was riding pretty good and just getting some bad horses. I mean, it was a tough time of the meet, which I completely understand. And Rudy, he's always kept in touch with me, and he's a very
Rudy
good
Rodriguez
agent.
Jr.
Yeah, Rudy Jr. He's always kept in touch with me, and he's a very good agent. So my plan is just, I honestly just don't want to be riding the Florida circuit forever if I come up here. And say when the big guys from down south come up back for the spring in New York, I can ride the Monmouth Parks, or even on weekdays ride the Belmont circuit with them. But I plan on finishing the winter here and then progressing to maybe other tracks. But if I'm doing good, I'll stay here.
You want to stay in the Northeast?
Yeah, in the Northeast.
So
for
this
sure.
is more of a career move. This isn't a, you want to establish yourself up here?
Yeah, establish myself and then get the ball rolling. And I know Rudy will work really hard, and he's a great person.
Yeah, he's a great agent. He does a very good job. He has Ray Gutierrez currently, and with your work ethic, I know we're doing this on Friday because you have too many to get on Saturday morning. So
yeah.
You're listening to this on Saturday morning. Romero's working his tail off as usual. You mentioned maximum security. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine there was a gamut of emotions that were running through your brain as he was running roughshod over everything down in Florida after your injury, all the way through finishing first in the Kentucky Derby. I know the answer, but I have to ask the question. How hard were you rooting for him through those races and on Kentucky Derby?
Oh, I was rooting for him so much. You know, I don't want to be biased towards any trainers, but I rode that horse. You know, he's a good horse. And
what's that like? So young to you were just turned 18 when you rode him, right?
Yeah, I was 18 when I rode him, and it was just the first time I went on him for 16. I went back to the barn the next morning. It was kind of funny because I said to Jason, "Thank you so much for that hang on. That horse is a stakes horse." He said, "Don't ever do that again." And I thought he was like, "Don't ever do that again. You won by too far." And I was like, I started laughing because I thought he was playing with me. And then I realized that he wasn't playing. And he said, "Don't win by too far on my horses." You know, that's what he said to me. But then I said, "You know, Jason, I think this horse is a stakes horse, might be a graded stake horse." And he said, "You really think so?" And then Walter, he's like kicking me to stop talking. And then when we leave the barn, Walter was my agent, by the way. And then when we left the barn, Walter and I was talking, and Walter was really upset at me. He said, are you an idiot for saying that horse is a stake horse? He just won for 16. And I also said to Jason, that horse that won for 16 also won on a horse for him that same week for Maiden Special. I said that horse, and they both won by 10. So I said that horse that won for 16 is way better than the horse that won for Maiden Special. And Walter just gave it to me after that.
He should have given it to you. But listen, I'm sure as much as you remember that story, I'm sure Jason Service is going to remember that story,
oh, yeah,
knowing that you were wiser beyond your years to, wow. What'd you think of the DQ? Put your emotions aside. What'd you think of the DQ?
It could have went either way, you know, but it's just a tough, it's a tough decision, you know, it's tough. You know, it's just tough. There was no inquiry. I don't know. It was tough. It could have went either way, but I know that he's the best horse for sure. He's just tremendous, and the more that you ask is the more that you give. Like, I don't know if everyone watches his races, but whenever horses come to him, you'll be like, oh, he's dead. They're going to get by him for sure. But then his ears are pricked up, and then when he sees the other horses, he just fires again. And that's how he's always been. And I can see what Louis said. When he sees something, he spooks, because when I rode him second time out, we were going into the gate, and the pony handed him off to the gate guy. And then he kind of reared and wheeled with me, and then I hung off the side saying, I'm saying to myself, this horse cannot get loose or it cannot scratch. It's a 1-5 for Jason Service. And I end up winning 2 for Jason that day too, including maximum security.
Wow, I never knew that. I didn't know he acted up second time out.
Yeah, he just kind of got spooked, you know. So when I see that happen in the Derby, I can see what Louis saying for sure.
What, like you said, your agent now, Rudy Rodriguez Jr. Walter Blum did a fantastic job down in Florida for you. Rudy Rodriguez Jr. has you now up here in New York and in the Northeast. I know Rudy's not afraid to ship out of town as well. Monmouth Parks, like you mentioned. You rode your first winner for Mike?
Yes.
And the crew?
Yes.
Any barns that any trainers, any guys and gals giving you some commitments already? A little bit of a different beast up here than it is down in South Florida, where everybody's known you since you were a little kid.
Yeah, it's pretty different. But the positive from that is that the first impression that they got from me 2 years ago in Saratoga was really great. The first impression that they got here in Aqueduct was really great. It's like New York was bound to be for me, so I have to stay in the Northeast. It's like something that it's just meant to be. That's what I think, because I was going to move here in the end of 2018 before I stayed in Gulfstream, and then I decided to stay in Gulfstream, and I fell, and then I got the opportunity to come back, and I was like, you know what, this must be a sign. I have to go up north.
Well, you made a great first impression, both on the track and off the track. You are mature beyond your years. Don't think you're not allowed to call yourself immature anymore, my friend.
Thank you.
You're mature beyond your years, and we wish you nothing but success here in the Big Apple. And in the entire, I'm the Big A, so I can speak for the entire Northeast. I'm glad I have a Mirage up here this winter. I was going through Mirage withdrawal. I mean, he just up and left me.
You're a Mirage sick.
I'm Mirage sick, exactly. Yeah. Romero, best of luck.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you here day in and day out.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right, the one and only Romero Mirage. How long have you bug until?
Well, I have it right now, supposedly until the second week of May, but I'm going to speak to the state stewards in Gulfstream to see if I can get an extension because of the length of time that I was out for. So, and many people have told me that I can get an extension,
yeah,
so
sure.
I'm going to try to get the extension for sure because that I know will help me a lot.
Excellent. Very good. All right, buddy. Best of luck.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.